This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to my podcast. Today, you're going to hear an incredible miracle story as a result of prayer. And we're going to talk to the author of a new book called When People Pray, What Happens When Ordinary People Pray to an Extraordinary God. It's a story you won't believe. A young girl with an undiagnosed disease who was told she would never walk again was miraculously healed, and now that has sparked a movement that is actually changing the nation. So stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Hello, everyone. I am so happy to be able to interview Brian Allred from New Mexico. And he's come out with this new book that I mentioned, and it's actually releasing in the summer, but an ebook version is available free during this COVID-19 crisis. And I think that's a very generous thing to do. And I'm very happy to welcome Brian to my podcast. I interviewed his brother in January, and who also has an extraordinary ministry in Springfield, Missouri. So welcome to my podcast, Brian. And tell me about this miracle that happened. Well, first of all, tell us about, you know, this terrible disease. It was almost like a stroke that happened to your 12-year-old daughter, Chloe.
Thank you, Steve. What an honor and joy to be with you today. And yeah, you know, back in the spring of 2016, I was pastoring my church, Passion Church, the church that my wife and I planted 14 years ago here in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I also was a regional manager for the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. And back in 2016, Franklin Graham was going to all 50 states for prayer rallies at the state capitals. You might remember that. And I was in charge of mobilization for 10 of those states. And we went to Texas. I was working in Austin for the prayer rally at the Capitol. Brought in a guy named Trey Kent. He's a pastor in Northwest Fellowship. Brought him on the team to just help with mobilization. And Trey had started what's 11 years ago now. At that time, it had been going 7 years, unceasing prayer, with this model of every church adopt a monthly day of prayer. So the Baptist church takes the first day of the month, and the Pentecostal church takes the second day of the month, and the Charismatic the third day, and the Reformed Church the fourth day, and every church takes a monthly day, or a smaller church could take a half a day, and then people pray in a Moravian prayer chain style. So somebody prays at 2 a.m., somebody prays at 3 a.m., and then with just 31 churches, you could cover your city in unceasing prayer, which they've been doing in Austin, Texas for 11 years. And I was so captivated. I was on the tour with Franklin working on mobilization. We brought Trey on. I was captivated by that, and I just thought, you know, Trey, you need to take this national. And he said, you know, I don't feel like I'm the guy to do that. Maybe you are. No, I'm not. You know, I just think it's a great model, a great way to bring unceasing prayer to churches, that every church could get to be part of this. This would work in Albuquerque. This would work in Orlando. This would work in New Delhi. I mean, I can't think of one city in the world where this model of unified prayer wouldn't work. And so I had that on my heart. We did the prayer rally in Austin. Then the next day we went to Oklahoma City with Franklin and then Topeka, Kansas. And my wife calls, Mercy calls and says, babe, you need to fly home right now. Chloe had had stomach pain for about 2 weeks. We couldn't find her to her primary care doctor, but now she's in the ER. So I hop on the next plane, fly back to Albuquerque. And over the next 6 weeks, it just got worse and worse and worse. Went in with stomach pain. They thought it was nerve pain. They didn't understand what caused it or how it happened. They started treating her for nerve pain in her stomach. And she had a severe reaction. It put her in a wheelchair. She was in a wheelchair for about 6 weeks. Went from running track, went in first or second place in all her track meets to wheelchair. And then on May 12th, they hospitalized her at University of New Mexico Children's Hospital on May 12th of 2016 because it went from she couldn't walk to real disoriented. She was confused, was having severe migraines in addition to the stomach pain, was losing mobility in her left arm and left leg. So just a lot of really weird symptoms that they couldn't figure out. So they hospitalized her. And that night, in the night, she had a crash where she couldn't move. Paralysis in the left side of her body. So couldn't move the left. I mean, no feeling, no movement in her left arm, left leg. Couldn't open her eyelids and had complete amnesia. So she was down to one memory. I said, Chloe, she didn't know her name. And she said, I Chloe. I said, yeah, honey, you're Chloe. Do you know who I am? And she said, "You, Dad, you love me." And here's this 12-year-old honor student speaking like a 2-year-old now. And the two neurologists checked her out, and they said that she would never walk again. That was the diagnosis on May 13th, that she would probably recover from amnesia, should recover from her eyelids, be able to open left side of her body with therapy. She should recover, but she would never walk again. And she would have to learn how to live with level 10 nerve pain the rest of her life, just with Advil or Tylenol, because the nerve medication they gave her, she was allergic to. And so, you know, I heard that. My wife leaves the room to go teach her class. My wife, Mercy, is a professor of education at Central New Mexico. So she had to leave for classes. She had written them all alone for about an hour, Steve. And I go, never forget, I walk to the corner of the room. I kneel down those white hospital square tile floor, kneel beside the couch. And I just said, "God, please don't take my baby girl. You know, if it takes 10 years for her to learn how to walk again, I can do this, you know." Quit my job at Billy Graham, which I loved. I'll quit my church, which I love, and we'll figure out healthcare, and I'll just be by my daughter's side until she can walk again and speak well again, and her memory comes back, and I just want to take care of my baby girl. And wrestled with God for about an hour, and I just heard the still small voice, Steve, of God say, "If you'll start 24/7 prayer, I'll take care of your baby girl." I was shocked by that. It's not what I was expecting to hear. About a month before that, I had seen the model in Austin of the monthly day of prayer. I loved it. I thought we should be doing that in Albuquerque. I didn't think I was the guy to lead it because I was too busy pastoring and traveling with the Billy Graham Association, but I thought somebody needs to be doing this in Albuquerque. And so I knew when God said 24/7 prayer that it was what I'd been praying about for about a month, which was to start monthly, you know, every church in Albuquerque take a monthly day of prayer. And I wrestled with God and wrestled, and I was angry at God. And I felt like, you know, I'm the last person right now that you should ask to champion prayer. Because for 6 weeks, we've been praying for our daughter, and she went from stomach pain, mild stomach pain, to wheelchair, to amnesia, never walking again.
And so, boy, I can't imagine anything worse than that. I mean, I have two sons, no daughters, but I mean, to have a beautiful daughter, you obviously care for her very much, and I guess any father would, of course.
Yeah.
To have this happen, and did they ever find out what happened to her, what caused all this?
They never were able to discern. To this day, 4 years later, never have figured out what caused it. You know, just broken. And I just thought, God, how can you ask me to start a prayer movement when my daughter is in the hospital? Like, you know, but God wouldn't relent. And so I surrendered, Steve. I said, "Okay, God, I'll start 24/7 prayer here in Albuquerque." And the Spirit replied and said, "Not Albuquerque, but the whole state. And not just New Mexico, but all 50 states, and not just America, but I want you to raise up a movement of prayer, cover every city, every state, every nation in 24/7 prayer till I come back." And depending on your eschatology, that could be this year or 1,000 years, right? It's all over the map. But I just feel like, God, that was the call in my life that I received in that moment. And 2 days after that, May 15th, Chloe got out of her wheelchair for the first time in nearly 6 weeks and walked after they'd said she could never walk again. I mean, never. That was impossible. He did the impossible. And Steve, it was equal parts relief and joy. You know, my daughter's walking. But at the same time, it was heartbreaking because here's my track star, my starting point guard, you know, athlete her whole life, stumbling across the room like a newborn fawn learning to walk. You know, so I was excited. She was out of the wheelchair, but broken that she took 4 steps and fell over, and I had to grab her and pick her up. But it was like, this is a miracle, and yet my heart's broken. I don't know if you've ever felt that, but it's like, you know, the best of times, the worst of times, the same moment happening. And she wanted to go home. So against the advice of her doctors, we took her home that day on May 15th. And, you know, I wish I could say the story, you know, we all lived happily ever after. But by the time we got home, she was in pain, severe stomach pain. It took about 6 months to figure that out. Some food allergies, some inflammation, some different things that started to get better. Then severe migraines. It's been 4 years. I would say she's about 90%. She can walk. She can run. She's healthy. She's active. Still some stomach pain every now and then. Still some migraines we're still trying to figure out. But I knew when she got out of that wheelchair, I wasn't messing around, you know?
And then out of this terrible, terrible tragedy in your life, a prayer movement has started. And, you know, what I've heard about what you've done in New Mexico is just absolutely amazing. I mean, even affecting the governor and the economy and the crime rate. Tell us that story.
Yeah, so we launched New Mexico Praise. We organized in 2016, got rated a lot. We launched January 1st, 2017 with five churches. We just thought, you know, we started a team. We built a board. We started with five churches. And I've been leading a Bible study up in Santa Fe for several years now for legislators, for senators and representatives. And then when they're in session, when they're out of session, I do it through a conference call on Tuesdays. And so I went up there. My host is Representative David Gallegos. He's my host. My Bible study. And I went up there and I said, hey, David, we're starting this new thing called New Mexico Praise. We're going to ask churches to take a monthly day of prayer. We're praying for spiritual awakening and unity and racial reconciliation. And we're praying for the economy and for crime. And Representative Gallegos said, you know, Pastor, we're $250 million in deficit as a state with zero reserves. And we just cut $50 million off the debt by cutting education and mental health. And now I have to go back to my district and apologize to my kids and grandkids, you know. But we're in deficit. We have no money. We're broken as a state. We're 49th in economy, 50th in family prosperity index. So literally, New Mexico is the worst place in America to raise a family financially. And he said, would you please pray for, ask your pastors and churches, pray for the economy. And we started praying for the economy. We really took that to heart. Jeremiah 29:7, seek the peace and the prosperity, right? The shalom of the city to which I've carried you. Pray for the city, because if the city prospers, you will prosper. So we really took Jeremiah 29:7, praying for peace, you know, praying that crime would go down. We were number one in violent crime as a state, number one in auto theft, number two in property crime. And so we needed a miracle. So we started praying for the economy, praying for crime. Every hour, every day, people all across the state, 27 cities, it grew to 130 churches. People would get up at 2 a.m. and pray in Hobbs, and people would get up at 3 a.m. in Santa Fe and pray. People would get up at 4 a.m. in Albuquerque and pray. But we're praying for the same things, you know, 7, 8 big things. One is the economy, one is crime. And the amazing thing, Steve, from January 1st, 2017 to January 1st, 2019, New Mexico went from $250 million deficit to $1.2 billion with a B dollar surplus in 2 years in a very small, economically depressed state. So much so that our Lieutenant Governor John Sanchez, our state representative, said this was God. Like, this was the power of prayer. There was no way we could have turned this around. So when God's people pray, what happens when ordinary people get up in Hobbs, New Mexico? You know, they're not famous celebrities like Billy Graham. They're just an average, you know, Christian mom, a grandma, a police officer, get up and pray in unison with other believers praying for the economy, for crime. Is that the economy goes to the roof. So we actually went to number one in job growth in the nation. Number one in job growth in 2017.
Boy, that is a miracle.
Number one.
But in the natural, what happened? Did you guys discover gold or oil or what?
Well, check this out, Steve. So we've had oil in southern New Mexico for years. I mean, but it was most of it was in West Texas. A little bit of it was in New Mexico. But here, amazing thing in 2017, after we start there, they discovered that in the New Mexico side, it's 5 times deeper and bigger than they had ever seen. So the wealth was already there in the land. God had already put it there, you know, but they had never seen it. And so now that county is now the number two oil-producing county in North America.
Wow.
Oil was there. Prayer helps us to see that it was there, right? A Netflix moves to Albuquerque and says they're going to move their whole studio here. All their films and shows will be filmed in Albuquerque. NBC Universal moves to Albuquerque, and Facebook builds their data center in Albuquerque. And you go, how did that happen? Prayer. We believe that's God answering the prayers of his people. We started praying for crime. Crime got worse in 2017, not better. And that doesn't make for a good end of the year newsletter. Way to go, guys. You know, crime got significantly worse. And so we really doubled down in 2018 and said, all right, we're going to keep praying for awakening. We're going to pray for unity and salvation and economy. We're going to really double down on crime. And I went to our chief of police here in Albuquerque, Chief Dyer. I said, Chief, we're praying day and night, but it got worse. So what can we do in the practical level? Because I'm a prayer plus action guy. What can we do to serve the police department? And so we developed an app for the police department that connected the resources of the faith community to the police department. Started doing a monthly leadership meeting, which I still do to this day, 2 years later. Every month I go and meet with the chief and the deputy chiefs and commanders and serve them lunch, pray over them, do a short Bible study. We started partnering to reduce crime And the amazing thing, check this out, according to the FBI, from 2017 to 2018, Albuquerque experienced a historic reduction in crime. So robbery decreased 32%, larceny went down 19%, property crime went down 16%, auto theft went down 14%, burglary went down 9%, including and murder. I mean, like every down the line of indexes. So the end of 2018, our chief of police, Mike Geyer, calls me and says, "Pastor, can you come down to City Hall? We want to film a video with you, you know, celebrating the results that crime went down and talking about the power of prayer." I get invited to City Hall to do a video they produced and created, talking with the chief about how prayer had a direct impact on crime.
So is this book like a how-to on how other churches and communities can implement these things to see this kind of radical change in their lives and their communities?
Absolutely. So in the book, when people pray, there's the stories, but then also, you know, kind of a template, a model of how would you do this in Dallas? How would you do this in New Delhi? How would you do this in Florida? And so, you know, when crime goes down significantly, economy improves significantly, and the officials are, you know, saying this is the power of prayer. So it's not just a pastor and me saying we had a part to play in this. This is government leaders. And they're all on our video, which you can watch on our website, AmericaPraise.org. But, you know, that story carries. So now we've started America Praise, and we're in 17 states now. And through that, we launched other nations, came on board. So now we're in 10 nations as well through World Praise. And so it's just this movement of united prayer. And so our vision for America is to see 40,000 churches united in 24/7 prayer for a national spiritual awakening. And then globally to see every church in the world become a house of prayer. And so that's the thing, right? In Mark 11:17, that's theologically, this is where this is being driven from. Jesus said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations." And I love it because in the Greek, the word Jesus uses, we call it house, oikos, means family or household. So really the best way to read Mark 11:17 is Jesus saying, "My family shall be called a family of prayer for all nations, for every ethnic group, for every ethnos," right? So when we become that house of prayer, so not just churches, but every believer, every family, a house of prayer, when we become a house of prayer, it unlocks the nations. And that's what we're seeing happening, that this movement is spreading. My good friend and mentor, Dick Eastman, Every Home for Christ, came on board. They want to help us mobilize 24/7 prayer in 150 nations. And so this is just spreading and spreading and spreading in other cities. So last summer, I got a call from Governor Kevin Stitt, the governor of Oklahoma, called me up and said, "Pastor Al, we heard about what God did in New Mexico through day and night prayer. Can you do that here in Oklahoma?" We launched Oklahoma Praise last fall, in partnership with the governor, saying, "Hey, can we do this? And it worked in New Mexico. Can it work here?" Last week, Steve, I was supposed to be in Austin with Governor Abbott, Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, heard about America Praise and said, "Would you come meet with me? Could we launch Texas Praise?" So like governors and mayors are responding. So last year, our largest donor in New Mexico was the city of Albuquerque, a Democrat pro-choice mayor and a Democrat pro-choice city council, who are our biggest donors. And they're not donating to prayer, but they see the impact of prayer. They see that orphans and widows are being cared for, the poor are being served, crime is going down. And we've done multiple, you know, million-dollar outreaches to serve the poor. Comcast came on board, called me to be a donor. Like the business community coming on board. My friend Rick Warren calls it the three-legged stool. He got it from Peter Trucker, that to see sustained transformation, you need a three-legged stool, the faith community, the government, and the business community. When you get all three working together for the common good, you can see the same transformation which Rick has seen in Rwanda. That we're seeing that. We're seeing that the police department, the mayor's office, the governor's office, we're seeing the business community and churches come together to pray. And so our thing is, let's unite in prayer. And then once we're united in prayer, how can we serve our community? So in Albuquerque, that was crime and poverty. We serve the school district. We feed 1,500 kids a week. We do outreaches to feed 5,000 families. We do these things with the city because of Jeremiah 29:7, seek the peace and prosperity of the city. If the city you live in, if Tallahassee prospers, you prosper. If Oklahoma City prospers, you prosper, right? So we're just big believers in the power of united prayer that leads to compassionate service in a community. We've seen God just do that over and over again, and now it's spread to other states and now to other. We launched Brazil Praise last October with 600 pastors. And so, Steve, we're just seeing a miracle thing. So all that's in the book, When People Pray. As you said, you can download it for free right now in the Kindle bookstore, in MacBooks, or you can go to our website, When People Pray, W-H-E-N, whenpeoplepray.com, and download it there. But we just want to give it away. We felt like during COVID-19, my publishers, Cedargate Publishing, and I just felt like, let's give the ebook away for free, just to be a resource to as many people as we can. And people downloaded it literally from countries all around the world and started downloading it. And the paperback will come out in June. But we just wanted to bless people that they could believe. And so in there, I tell the story of the Green family. Mark Green is a dear friend. So I tell the story of what happened when David Green's mom, when she prayed that all her kids would be in ministry. In her mind, that meant pastoral, you know. But David didn't feel called to be a pastor. So he said he always felt like the black sheep of his family because he was a business guy, right? But then his hobby, God blessed Hobby Lobby, and these were able to give to the Bible translation and missions. He saw that he was a minister, right? He was a minister in the marketplace. So we tell real life stories of what happens when people pray. The story of Kevin Stitt, who's in college and he's praying and God leads him and becomes a business guy. And now he's the governor of Oklahoma. And I tell the story of Vickie Winkler, who's husband died. She was a RN. Her husband was a pastor in Sacramento, California. Her husband dies, and she's devastated, dies from cancer at a very young age, 54. And God, she says, God, what do I do now? I'm a widow. And God says, use your pain of a widow to go to Africa and take care of orphans and widows. And now she's raised up this amazing ministry in Kenya that's been honored by the government, won an award. I mean, all kinds of things. Vice President Biden went to see her ministry and he was vice president in Kenya just to see what God's done. And so it's real life stories of what happens when people pray. It's also a template and a model of what God can do in a city, in a state, in a nation when people unite together in prayer. The great Baptist theologian J. Edwin Orr said that there's no great spiritual awakening that's begun anywhere in the world apart from united prayer. So it's not just prayer, it's united prayer. That means let's get Catholics and Baptists and Pentecostals and Charismatic and Nazarenes and Christ and everyone in between pray around some of the big things. All pray for awakening. Let's all pray for the lost to be saved. Let's all pray for the poor to be served. Let's all pray. And so we've been doing that and seeing God just really begin to transform community after community after community. So that's the story, when people pray.
Well, you know, I've been a journalist covering the Christian community, specifically the charismatic community, for more than four decades, and I've heard a lot of stories, and this is absolutely one of the most inspiring stories I've ever heard, and I just commend you for writing the book, for first of all having the faith to believe for this miracle for your daughter. And, you know, a lot of people pray. I mean, go on Amazon and put in the word books on prayer. And you know, I have no idea how many would come up. We published a lot of books on prayer. Of course, people know that you need to pray. But very rarely do I hear about these kind of results. You know, it's like the people that were praying for Peter to get out of prison, if you remember the story of the book of Acts. Yeah. And they're praying, praying, praying. They didn't expect him to get out of prison. And there he was at the door, you know. And that's how a lot of people pray. And here, you know, when it is so effective, the governors in nearby states hear about it and want to see something happen, because we really need some radical things to turn around in this country, as you know, and a lot of people are praying. And I just hope and pray, to use that word, that your book will be an inspiration to many people. And I want to encourage my listeners to forward this. That's how my podcast is growing, is lots and lots of people forwarding it. I'm going to download the book on my Kindle in just a few minutes. I didn't know about this opportunity until you explained it just now. And we've got to get this word out. Not just to sell a book, and you have to understand, I'm a publisher, so I think selling books is a wonderful thing to do, but yeah. Because of the message, which this message can be communicated in many ways, a podcast is one, a book is one, I'm sure you get up in churches and preach about it, and also word of mouth, where people just tell about it. You know, I doubt that Governor Abbott read your book, because I don't think it was out yet, but yet he heard about it from someone. That's so right. We need to start a mighty movement, and churches need to find out how they can be on this prayer chain. And of course, there's lots of people praying, and is breaking out in lots of ways. My friend Mike Bickle up at the International House of Prayer in Kansas City is an example. Of course, what they do is very, very different than that. It's more like a, what is it, sort of intercessory prayer. What do they call it? Harp and bowl, you know, where they're holding up prayer like incense before God or something like that. That's a very different kind of thing than saying, okay, Baptist, you pray on Monday, and okay, Assemblies right. of God, you pray on Tuesday. And
that's right, yeah.
You know, that's a very unique way to do it, and we need to get this word out. We need to, far and wide, we need to get this word out. So as we wrap up this fairly short podcast, the nice thing about a podcast, unlike a radio program, is it can be as long as you want it to be, but we try to keep them short so it's easier for people to listen. I want to give you the last word and also tell people again how they can get your book. You told me that it's coming out May 13th, and how they can get it now.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Steve. You can go to When People Pray, W-H-E-N, whenpeoplepray.com, and download it there. It's also, you can go straight to the Amazon, download it from the Kindle bookstore for free. Or go to, if you're in MacBooks, go to MacBooks and download it for free. And the paperback will come out this summer. You know, you'll be able to get it in bookstores and Amazon. But right now, we just want to spread this to as many people as we can to give them a free resource to understand the power and connection that comes from God through prayer. And, you know, I like to say that the power is not in prayer. The power is in Jesus. He's the power of God. But prayer gives me access, right? So the keys, my car keys, there's no power in my car keys, you know. But my keys turn the ignition. My keys give me access to the full power and potential of the engine and the motor and the battery and everything. All the power of the vehicles, you know, is released through the key. And I like to say that prayer is like the key. Prayer is access to the power of God. The power is not in prayer. Jesus is that we can't put our faith in prayer. We put our faith in Jesus, right? But as we pray simple, broken prayers, you have this father who comes to Jesus and says, please heal my son. And if you can do anything, and Jesus says, if I can do anything, really? And why are you so unbelieving? And the Father says, I believe, but help my unbeliefs. Like, I believe in your capacity to heal. I'm just struggling to believe that you're going to heal my son, right? I believe in your power, your potential, but I'm just struggling to believe that my son's going to be healed. And what I love about that story is that Jesus doesn't reject the Father. He doesn't say, well, you know what? You didn't have belief, and so you didn't believe perfectly. And so I'm not going to heal your son, is that, you know, broken faith is not rejected faith, right? Weak faith is not rejected faith. It just takes a little bit of faith, as small as a grain of a mustard seed. And prayer is what we come to Jesus with, broken prayers. God, heal my daughter. God, save my marriage. God, fix my business. Lord, save my city. God, bring down crime. Whatever it is we're praying for, that when ordinary people pray to this extraordinary God, that really anything is possible. Prayer transports us to the realm of the impossible, where anything is possible. With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Prayer is access to this life without limitations, where God can heal your daughter that's dying in the hospital, where God can begin to turn around the economy of a state, where God can reduce crime at significant levels, where God can build healthy churches and restore marriages that were broken. And I just believe that God is in the business of answering prayers of simple, ordinary people. You don't have to be an expert intercessor. Just pray. Just talk to God and let him talk to you, and he'll take you places you never imagined possible.
Amen. And that's a good place to leave it. Thank you so much, Brian Allred, for talking to us today about your new book, When People Pray, that people can get for free kind of during this COVID-19 pandemic, a way that you're blessing them. And then the hardback book is coming out later this summer. And thank you for taking time from your busy schedule to be on my podcast. So I'll wrap it up and thank my listeners for listening to the Strang Report today on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Stephen Strang. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.